You are getting your man card pulled.
It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Good morning. Welcome. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network.
Yeah.
And it's the weekend, and here we are in March already. Holy cow. That February just shot right by. The cold's maybe a little bit behind us, and the frigid stuff is. We had a little break this week where I was, and kind of snow melted, and
it's coming back today.
Yeah, that voice you just heard is the baritone of beer, or the scratchy voice of beer, and we're gonna be talking about that. That's Chaz Thompson. Barbecue Bob is on hiatus this weekend, so Chaz, he's a little bit under the weather, but just decided he'd sit in with me. So I really appreciate that, Chaz. You had a busy few weeks. We're going to cover that in the show. I got to tell you a little embarrassing one right now before we get too deep in.
I love this story.
Yeah. So here's what happens is I on Friday or on Thursday morning rather, I'm going to go to Detroit for work. I got to spend the night, and then I'm coming back. Right. So I company requires me to rent a car if I'm going to drive that far. So I go to Enterprise, pick up this little Buick something. I don't know. It's a nice vehicle. It looks kind of like a spaceship on the inside. The dash is like all lit up all the way across, and you're in a cockpit. So the guy, you know, he's giving me the we walk around, do the inspection. I get in, and I'm ready to go. And there's a little dial on a console. I turn it. Nothing happens. I'm turning it. I'm pushing buttons. Things are changing on the dashboard, but I'm not going anywhere, right? So I sat there, turned the dome. Took me a minute to find where the dome light was. I'm turning it. It's dark. I'm looking around. 5 minutes. I can't figure out how to make this car move. It was, and I'm like, I'll be damned if I'm going to go back in there and ask this guy how to put this car in drive. And but I had to, so it's, I get out.
It
after,
started though, right?
Oh, it was running. Yeah, he started, brought it up, drove it up, right, and then set me in the driver's seat. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, this is going to be embarrassing, but I got to go in because one, I got to go, and two, I have no idea how to make this car move. Turns out that you have to the turn signal on the right hand side lever. You have to pull it back and pull it down to go in reverse. And lift it up like you're turning right to go in reverse and turning left to go into drive. And it's on the turn signal.
Oh.
I'm like, are you flipping kidding me? I mean, it makes sense now when you know where it is, but it was dark in the car and you couldn't see in the light. Yeah, I mean, man, it was like, are you kidding me?
No stick shift.
No stick shift, no nothing shift. It was just on the turn signal. Weird, man.
I miss my stick shift.
Yeah, exactly, brother. That was a little rant. Sorry about that. But you're starting
like
to feel my age when I can't get in a car and figure out how to put it in drive and make
Come
it.
Come on, George Jetson.
And it's a Buick.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not in a rocket ship, you know, but whatever. Maybe I was. The technology has passed me by. That's a crazy thing. But so, Chaz, you've got a little bit of a scratchy voice. I'll tease some short answers, but you've had a busy 2 or 3 weeks. You did the, and I want to touch on all of this if you got the voice to do it. You did the International Ice Fishing Competition.
The World Championships.
World Championships.
Huge amount of people.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that because there's some great stories from there. And then also on the heels of that, the next weekend you did the West Michigan Beer Fest, right?
Well, yeah, Brewers Guild Winter Beer Fest.
Yeah, right. And that was at LMCU Park, right?
Right. Outdoors.
Right. Outdoors, right. So
I've been living outdoors for a month and a half.
Yeah, and that's maybe where the voice, scratchy voice is coming from. But anyway, tell us a little bit about the, because this was like 16, 17 years since we'd had this competition in America, right?
Well, it was 2013.
Oh, okay.
Was the last time that we had it. We had it in 2010 and actually got the gold medal.
Oh.
And one of the big privileges was there were a number of those gold medalists that were joining us as officials and helping out the old guys.
Nice.
And to hang with those guys. And then, you know, one of my other buddies, Dave Gentz.
Oh, yeah. He makes a Vexilar. If any of you guys are fishermen out there, the the little electronic device that you watch for fish in your hole was called a Vexilar, and he had one, a signature model of that, right?
Yeah, he's had several of those, and he also represents clam.
Oh, yeah.
Shelters and stuff.
Right.
And so Dave Gentz was there.
Wow.
Dave and his daughter hanging out with us and helping.
Dave's not a spring chicken either, is he?
No, he's like in his 80s.
Yeah. Cool that he made it all the way there.
Oh, he drove.
Yeah.
Dave's the man.
Yeah.
And I took him down to the local Kubota dealer where the sales guy there was. I thought he was going to faint when he saw Dave Gentz.
Obviously an ice fisherman.
He had an FL8 SE.
Right.
Which is like 25 years old.
Right.
In the Gentz pack.
Oh, okay.
And he wanted Dave to sign it.
Oh, nice.
And for a guy in his late 40s to have that kind of hero status of somebody.
Right.
Is amazing.
Well, that'll be passed down to his kids and his grandkids, man, because, you know, those are, I have that same one, as you know, and we took mine out of the pack and kind of modified it for my bucket. I get oohs and ahs on that, by the way. I mean, like, guys are like, holy crap, that's a great idea. And but that's for another story. But so, Dave, but you got to hang out with him too, right?
Oh, yeah. We've known Dave for a number of years, but it was just one of those things. He felt comfortable coming over and hanging out with us and the American team. And when we were out on the ice, there was just so much entertainment of people. The mayor and the chief of police of Lakeview told me they have a population of about 1,000.
Okay.
They thought there were 5,000 on the ice.
Wow. Right. Yeah.
We woke that little town up.
Right. And but you had beer tents, you had food trucks, you guys did it upright. And I mean, this was all over our local news too, that when it was happening, and you know, they were doing remotes from out there. This was a big deal, man. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, one of the days when we were doing a demo day for the media, my job was just driving my side by side back and forth hauling reporters.
Yeah.
And they all asked the same question. So we're really on the ice? Yep, we're on the ice and we're not sinking.
Right, yeah. You had plenty, I'm sure. While you were
almost
there.
20 inches.
Yeah, yeah. So you could drive a vehicle out there if you had to, right?
Like
yeah.
Tamarack is a pretty cold.
Yeah, it's got a nice wide open approach to it. So, and we had a great winter for ice because we didn't have a lot of snow.
Right.
It didn't get on there.
And a lot of cold, yeah.
And it was cold.
Yeah, that really good black ice that you get about an inch below the surface, and then it's just clear and dark, and ooh, that's the stuff that is hard.
Several of the days when we were in the shelters doing the weigh-ins, you could see right through the floor and watch the fish swim by.
That's cool. That's cool.
The little south, or the guy from Zimbabwe that I had with me, he was a little bit freaked out.
Yeah?
Too cold for him?
Too cold and standing on water.
Right.
Yeah. Not something they teach you in Zimbabwe.
Yeah, you don't meet a lot of ice fishermen from that area of the world.
So. Right.
No, but we turned him into one.
Yay.
Yeah, right. It was. Did Zimbabwe have a team, or was he just there helping you?
He was there because we were using their software, and he works for a company called KeepNet.
Oh, okay.
That helped us track all of the buckets of fish that we weighed during the competition so we'd be able to score it.
Right.
And so they flew over from Zimbabwe, and he basically almost lived with me for a month.
Wow.
Where I gave him a lot of eyesight into the Michigan way of life.
Yeah.
When I cooked him walleye, he ate the walleye just up, and he thought he'd been kissed by Jesus.
Oh, wow.
Well, if you enjoy walleye like we do and you know how to cook it, that's a great experience for him. He's not going to find that in many places, so that's cool.
No, and the Europeans all had the same thing. Your fish tastes a lot better than ours.
It's the mercury, right?
Is right. That... Did you did you have like team dinners and things like that? Eating walleye and stuff?
Well, we didn't get walleye. We were staying over at the Doubletree, and we got a lot of beef and pork.
I see. All right. Well, that's cool.
Unlike Finland, where they fed us fish all three meals.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's a cool event, and thanks so much for working hard. You worked on that for a year or so to get that thing up and running. That was really cool. One other thing that you did was the Brewers Guild Beer Fest at LMCU Park. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. Stick with us. We'll be back.
If you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats, where our staff is always friendly and they all know our creed. Come on down to Sobey's and let us meet your needs. We have kielbasa, kapusta, chicken, pork, and beef. Seafood and hot sticks, a snack that can't be beat. Dairy and deli, groceries, beer and wine. And once you shop at Sobey's, you'll shop there all the time.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Please stop by to see Teresa and myself and the whole gang for good old-fashioned service at 3450 Remembrance Road. Make sure you visit SobeyMeats.com for our specials, and thank you for your support.
So when you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats. And if you're really satisfied, there's one way we can tell. When you leave the store, make sure you ring our bell.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, thanks for tuning in. If you missed the first segment, Chaz was running down the international ice fishing competition. The USA came in the middle of the pack, but they were amazing hosts. And beer tents and food trucks and a lot of ice fishing happened. So Chaz gets done with that, and a short 5 days later, he's right in the middle of running the Michigan Brewers Guild Winter Beer Fest, which is at LMCU Park in Grand Rapids, Michigan here, and that was last week. Met a bunch of dudes there, I'm sure, had a great time. I know Chaz does logistics out there, right?
But I was missing my buddy Matt.
Yeah.
Because Matt lives way up in Lake Ann.
Yeah.
And he has Winter Beer Fest like all winter long.
Yeah.
Matt.
It feels like it, especially this winter.
Yeah. I mean, your snowmobilers have got to be coming in droves.
Well, we, you know, being on the west side of Traverse City, we're about 15 miles west of Traverse City, and we don't get a lot of snowmobilers just because there's not a good trail system that goes through our area. So all we really get for snowmobilers are regulars that show up on their snowmobile. So it's not a plus. Otherwise they'd be there in their truck, you know?
Oh yeah. Or the side by side.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So Matt, you've kind of got a different approach on your brewery other than a lot of the guys, especially down here in Grand Rapids, in that you kind of just serve a resort community.
You know, it's a good mix actually. So, and you know, the demographic here is just ever changing. I've been in northern Michigan. I grew up in Flushing, west of Flint, and have been, I've been coming up to Lake Ann all my life, but, moved in, 98, and it's really changed a lot. We have, essentially Traverse City's gotten so expensive that, you know, that we get a lot of people that are, you know, making the 20-minute drive into Traverse City, and they work there. So you get a good mix of a summer crowd and your local regulars, you know. And then you're getting a lot of people who had a summer place maybe up here, and then they decided to move. So it's a good, steady, year-round business here in town, but we do get a huge bump in the summer because we just get so many people in the area. But it's pretty steady, so it's not as much of a feast or famine that some resort towns get.
Yeah, well, I know Randy likes to take his wife on secret getaways,
right?
And I've recommended cabins up around Lake Ann a number of times.
And Matt, we're gonna have to. I actually need a tip on that because I've the Elk Foundation up there, I'm going to be cooking for them in August. And
Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation?
Yeah, yeah. I'm doing a barbecue. It's their annual banquet. There's, I don't know, 100, 150 of them up there. And but we want to, it's a Thursday night, and I want to stay through the weekend. So I need a tip on some a cabin where I can bring my dog, and while we go cater, the dog will be fine, and then we get to spend the weekend in a nice place. So we'll talk about that off the air. But
absolutely.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your tap room, because I think our listeners need to know what they can expect when they walk when they get up there, rather.
Yeah, so we're in an interesting little spot. So Lake Ann Village is has, I think, 267 people in it, surrounded by Elmira Township, which is like 4,000-plus people. But we are a mile away from, like, Long Lake Township, which is Long Lake area, which is, you know, there's a lot of people right in Long Lake Township. That's just west of Traverse City. So, we kind of split the difference. So when people, if people live halfway in between Traverse City and Lake Ann, a lot of times in the summer, because Traverse City gets so crazy. I mean, we get a lot of people that just, instead of heading east, they head west and they go to Lake Ann, which might be 6-7 miles, you know, split the difference between Traverse City. So we get a lot of people that choose to come our way instead of Traverse City because Traverse City's gotten so busy. But we opened, it'll be 10 years ago in June, so June 15th, 2015.
How many on tap?
We have 24 taps. We grew into our tap system. We have beer, cider, wine, mead, all on tap. We struggle with trying to balance making sure we have enough taps for all the beers, because a lot of times we have more beers than we have taps. So we're always rotating and jumbling around everything and all that. But we have, we might have 4 hard ciders on tap, and then a couple meads, a couple wines, and the rest are all beers.
Oh, man, that's
usually
something for
least,
everybody.
At least 16 on tap.
Now, you also have the beer garden and the beer garden bar.
Yes. So we kind of developed a little bit different than most breweries were developing at the time. We didn't have investors. We didn't have partners. It was basically, I was a home brewer, and I talked my wife into this stupid idea of buying this foreclosed cafe that was right in the village of Lake Ann that we used to patronize when it was open and it had been closed for maybe 3 years. There was a restaurant 10, 12 feet away from it that was serving up really good food. They had started in 2012. It's called the Stone Oven. And so we bought the building. My background was all construction, so that was really second nature. And so we renovated the building and opened up with a 7-barrel brew house. I was going to do a 3.5. You know, people were doing that. And I was like, well, I don't know. I think that'd probably be enough. And then I was working down there on the outside, and even my own town, I didn't realize how busy it was. Like, I'm just like, my God, there's a lot of people. Just traffic. And you don't really notice if you are just driving through. But if you are standing there, there's a lot of traffic. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to mess around. I'm going to, because, you know, upgrading while you're open is not fun. So I said, well, we'll just go with a 7-barrel. We had no business plan. We had no nothing.
So out in your beer garden, you've got an extra bar.
Yes, we
You've
do have an
stage.
Extra bar. In our, so what we did was, we opened up with 6 picnic tables in back, and now we probably fit 300 people back there.
And I know during COVID, you had like a permanent tent back there.
Yeah, so during COVID, of course, that was 5 years in, and we had a, to kind of stretch out our season, we had a 30 by 30 tent we had that had sides we purchased from a local guy that had it. And he's like, I don't need this thing anymore. And so I ended up buying that thing, and we had heaters out there and ended up going right through the winter with the thing.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And it was, I actually had talked to, I was talking yesterday to the guy who runs the restaurant, and they do all our food, the Stone Oven. He said that he still can't beat his numbers from the winter of 2020.
That's awesome, Matt. Now, Matt, you're on Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff, plus LakeAmBrewing.com. You guys, thanks, Matt, for hanging with us. And
yes, we're gonna... live music every night all summer.
Awesome.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk more beer with more brewers, but we'll have to get Matt back on when he can talk about his product, because you can tell he's a proud man. He's got a great brewery. You're listening to The Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Hall Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. Join us for happy hour Monday through Saturday from 4 to 7, with 30% off brick oven pizzas and dollar off beer and wine. Enjoy your meal and drinks on our large outdoor patio, or even take your pizzas to go. Happy hour deals also available at our sister location, Wealthy Street Bakery, which is on the corner of Wealthy and Union. Check out our menus online at wealthystreetbakery.com and also at hallstreetbakery.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Barbecue Bob's on sabbatical this weekend. Chaz is joining me, fresh off the Brewers Guild Winter Beer Fest. And he was nice enough to connect with a couple of his brewer buddies for the show today. So take it away, Chaz.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, how's it going?
It's going great, man. You guys over there at Mitten really knocked it out of the park at the park this weekend.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. We had a real good time there. It was a nice day.
It was a beautiful day. The crowd was great. And you did a cask ale for us for the ceremonial tapping.
Yeah, I actually did a cask lager for you.
That's badass.
Okay, so Jeff, this is Jop. Thanks for making time, first of all. But second of all, I'm a beer novice when it comes to the level that you and Chaz have of understanding. So give me something, give me a little breakdown of cask, and then it sounded like a lager in a cask was something even more special. So help me understand, please.
Yeah, so a cask beer is normally when we package beer, we force the carbonation into it to get the bubbles in it real nice and pretty. But with a cask, you put live beer into a vessel and seal it up and let it naturally carbonate itself. And so it's a little more, more fun that way. You get a nice little carbonation bump from it.
It's really old school.
Okay.
Yeah, it's real old school. And then to put a lager in, it just kind of takes it a step further. The lager process takes a long time. And then doing the cask on top of that, it was just kind of it was a fun project.
So that was an aged beer.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
not super aged, but I think that it was probably 7 weeks brewed before the day we tapped it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, the volume of beer that you guys turn out at the Mitten, that one was passed by 10 batches that happened after you brewed that one, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure, at least, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that Czech dark was out of this world when I got to taste some. I fought the crowd.
Yeah.
Glad to see such a group there ready for it. That was pretty cool.
Sounds like Chaz's a little butthurt that he didn't get the VIP pour, but got to wait in line like everybody else, right?
Yeah. Now, you guys are also
pretty close up there.
Yeah. You guys are also getting more into some of the lagers and a little bit lower alcohol beers over at the Mitten.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Because we're a brewery, but we're also a pizzeria. And so we're really looking to make beers that suit our customers that are coming in to have a pie and hang out for a while. And that seems to be, they really like the lager beers. They like the lower alcohol IPAs.
Well, I always used to say that if you made a cheap pint, you'll sell a guy 8 of them. But if you make an expensive one, you'll sell him 1.
Yeah.
Yep, and that same thing kind of goes for alcohol content too. You make a 4.5% beer, you're going to sell a guy two or three of them, and you make a 9% beer, he's having one, and he's going home.
Yeah, well, rightfully so. I mean, we all got to be responsible, right?
But absolutely.
And that's a big part of your business, I know. But so for the people that don't know, Mitten, one, tell us where we are, but the interesting part is that your pizzeria, too. Do you have a special style of pizza?
Yeah, well, it's just a sourdough crust. We do a three-day natural fermentation on a sourdough crust, and that really brings the whole deal together. Yeah, we're over on Leonard Street, just on the west side of 131. We're in an old 1890s firehouse. We're a Detroit Tigers baseball-themed brewery.
Nice.
And we've been like 6 years in a row voted best pizza in Grand Rapids.
Wow. That wood-fired oven you guys have just kicks.
Not wood-fired.
It's not wood-fired. It tastes like it.
That is just a good old-fashioned brick oven.
Wow. Wow. Now, you guys also do some White Caps beers, right?
Yep, we've got the Craft Clubhouse at the White Caps, and so you can find usually six of our beers on tap there during the season. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. So give me the top two or three most popular ones at the ballpark, because that, too, seems like a low-alcohol kind of place.
Sure. We sell a lot of our Pour of 84, which is our light lager. We sell a lot of that here and at the ballpark. Country Strong is our flagship IPA. We sell a lot of that no matter where it is. And probably our Mango Gold at the ballpark, which is a mango tart wheat beer.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It's not super sour. It's nice and fruity and goes really well with a baseball game.
Yeah, refreshing in a summer night when it's warm out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you got tap room there. Are you packaging as well? Can we find your stuff in stores?
Absolutely. Yep. Well, we've got cans out in most of the Meyers around town, Sicilianos, Medis, your specialty beverage shops. Lots of the bars in the area carry our stuff on tap. And then we also have two satellite locations. We have a pub in Saugatuck and a pub up in Northport, north of Traverse City. So you can get our beer there if you're on vacation.
Nice. Wow, that's great. So business is good?
Business is pretty good, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it's I don't think anybody's feeling super confident about everything these days. You know, it's pretty interesting market at this point.
Yeah.
I think we've got some good systems in place. I think we've got a really good product and a good experience to offer the customers.
Yeah, so has the cannabis business impacted your business at all? I mean, it's a recreational buzz, right? I guess they're not the same industry by any means. I get it. But people have X number of dollars of discretionary spending to go out and do a little partying. I just wondered, have you seen an impact?
I think so. I mean, it's... But all of that came online, kind of at the same time as COVID and all this other stuff. It's really hard to pinpoint one thing or the other. The industry has definitely changed over the last couple of years, and people aren't spending as much of their discretionary money at pubs and stuff like that. Whether they're spending it on cannabis or they're spending it on, DoorDash to just eat some fries at their house, I don't know.
Right. I mean, it's hard to know, yep.
Yeah, but whatever we can do to support our local businesses at this point is crucial. Everybody's having a hard time these days, and everybody could use as much help as they can get.
Yeah, it looks like we got a little break on that crazy minimum wage and the thing that was going on. Not enough break. I don't know. We're not going to get political, but it makes me cringe when I think about guys like you that are putting out a great product, and the government feels like they've got to mess with your business.
Yeah.
Hey,
well,
Jeff, how often?
It's not even me and my product. It's my bartenders who are making a great wage, and all of a sudden they're being told they're low of the totem pole.
Right.
Hey, Jeff, how often do you get to the other tap rooms?
A couple times a year. Not super often. But we're taking shipments and product to them every couple of weeks, usually.
Mini vacations?
Yeah. Yeah. Normally it's just a turn and burn, drop some kegs off and come back.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you're in Saugatuck, you got to call Barry Johnson.
Oh, he's there all the time anyways. He's our number one Mug Club member down there.
Yeah. Right. Does he still have Saugatuck Brewing?
No, he sold Saugatuck Brewing, but he's retired now, but he partakes quite a bit.
Well, he was in the game for a while.
Yeah.
Where are your tap rooms?
One in Saugatuck right there. It's on Water Street, right across, kind of from Coral Gables.
Okay, yep.
And then the other one is in Northport, right.
Oh, really?
Downtown, right downtown.
Way up
Northport.
On the tip there.
Yeah. If you go during the holidays, the Northport Community Christmas tree is on our property.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep. I know where that is.
Yep. Yeah. So, and that's my favorite one of our tap rooms. If you're there in the summertime and the weather's nice and the garage doors are open, it's a great vibe.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Well, and everybody that's up there in North Point is on holiday. I mean, there's locals, but they're, again, a small little village that...
Those people are on permanent holiday.
Right. They pack it in the summer because you're right, it's such a beautiful area, and you're right out there in the middle of the lake almost, right?
Really cool
stuff.
Well, Jeff, hey, thanks so much for taking out a few minutes out of the brew schedule today.
Yeah, no problem. I'm actually brewing some Session IPA right now. I probably should get back to that.
All right, buddy. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Yeah, have a great day, fellas.
All right, cheers. Thanks. Take care.
Bye.
All right, that's Jeff from the Mitten Brewery. That's here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and local favorite. The guy's been brewing great beer for many years.
And they got great pizza. And right. You can go in there. They got two floors in the tap room, plus some outside seating.
Right.
Plus you can get that pizza to go.
Right, and it's sourdough. We could spend hours talking about the popularity of sourdough right now. But coming up next, we're going to bring this train to the station. You're listening to The Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend, and we've been talking to a couple brewers. We were in Lake Ann, and then we went to the Mitten, and now we're going to just wrap this thing up because Chaz was at the Beer Fest. Don't you mostly do logistics there? I mean,
yeah, I help with the planning. I run high-low. I work with the keg team and a bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff, really.
Yeah.
But I also do the welcome speech and the cask tapping.
Oh, that's right. And the Mitten was, you said, provided the cask.
They provided the cask this time. And we try and go to somebody that's local to the festival to fill a cask with one of their beers that's normally in production, but to finish it in the cask. So you get that real old-world style of natural carbonation.
Yeah. Does that make it taste different, in your opinion?
Oh, yeah, it does. You tend to get a smoother taste because you don't get as much carbonic acid in it that you do when you do a forced carbonation.
Okay.
So it's a smoother, lighter taste to it. And sometimes guys do big beers. Jeff decided to go with a small beer.
Right.
And it turned out beautiful. And he filled a pin with it, and he took like 7 weeks to let it naturally carbonate up. And we had twin brothers, the Engel brothers, whose birthday it was. And Colin's been a longtime guy in the truck for me on the beer trucks.
Okay.
Running Pallet Jack and helping out there. Well, his twin brother came to his first beer festival. So I said, you boys are tapping the cask. And so they had a great time with that. And their older brother actually got them pink sashes and said, it's a girl. But, you know, older brothers.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. So the Winter Beer Fest is behind us. You said, I think we were talking about this, there was over 90 brewers there?
Yeah, there was, I think, 93 brewers and 499 different beers.
Wow.
And that doesn't even count the ask. So
that's 500. Yeah, yeah. So you, I know you were busy, and you certainly can't go around and try them all. But when you're there and you're in the middle of this thing, there's got to be, all puns intended, a buzz going on about one beer or two, or somebody's got this really cool stuff. Did you hear of anything like that when you were there?
Well, you know, a lot of guys, everybody has their style. There's the IPA guys like me. Then there's the people that like the sours. And I was hearing a lot of things about some fruity sours that people were really, really into. A couple of barrel-aged. Barrel-aged seemed to slow up a little bit this year. They're expensive to make.
Yeah.
And
so tell me, if the listener doesn't know, what is the unique characteristics of a barrel-aged beer?
A barrel-aged beer is typically a higher alcohol beer that they'll put into a whiskey or wine barrel.
Okay.
To finish aging it and get some flavors out of that barrel.
Okay.
Then they'll put it into the forced carbonation and carbonate it and package it.
Okay.
Whether they're doing kegs, cans, bottles, whatever.
Right.
And you get a little more those wine notes from it where you get the wood and things like that coming out of it.
Okay.
Quite often they'll integrate that in with sour beers.
Okay.
When you get a little bit of lactose bacillus in there. And that gives it a little tanginess.
Yeah.
And there's people that like that. Personally, I'm a more pure ale guy.
Yeah.
But there were big buzzes about several of those that nice. Came through. But there were also lines for the good old standards. You know, Bell's had a great line.
Yeah.
Shorts had cut blocks of ice out of the lake up there behind the brewery, brought three skids of them down in trucks, and built their bar out of blocks of ice from the lake.
Oh, now that's cool.
Joe Short called me up on Friday morning. He says, hey, can you get over here and get on your high-low and unload these? I'm like, I'm there, Joe.
Yeah. Yep. How cool is that? And it was cold enough that they didn't melt a lot, and there they were.
We had a joke amongst the logistics crew that the guild had bought skids of ice for brewers that demand ice.
Yeah.
And we determined we had zero melt on Friday night. We didn't lose a single drop.
Right. Yep. And the beer fest was on Saturday.
Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, it was a one-day deal. Yep. So pretty well attended?
Yeah, I think we did pretty good. I think there was probably just over 3,500 there.
Yeah.
Plus, you got all the brewery staff. You got all the logistics staff that work out there in the park. Park does the concessions and the security.
Right.
So they had a ton of people there, too.
Yep.
And LMCU does a great job of reaching out and supporting events when it's not baseball season.
Right.
Yeah. And it's a great venue because they got plenty of parking.
Right. Yep, and the restrooms are there, and you can get out of the weather if you need to. And, it's just it is a fantastic venue.
American Rentals brings in enough Americans, as they call them.
Yeah,
right. That everybody's got enough to relieve themselves.
Right.
And we always joke about the volume of beer versus the volume that the Americans hold.
Yeah, the number of porta potties versus the number of kegs.
It's a calculation.
Right, yeah. It's probably about even.
Well, it's a big deal to put on a festival that big and to coordinate all those brewers coming in, setting up the tents, the porta-johns, the people that just organize stuff. It's a huge deal.
So the food that was there was concessions from the Whitecaps organization.
Yeah, they had like foot-long corn dogs.
Oh, yeah.
I think they had the turkey legs, burgers and chicken sandwiches and stuff.
That's nice.
You know, something to eat while you're doing it. But a lot of people still do the big necklace.
Pretzel necklace or whatever it is?
Pretzel, sausages, cheeses.
Oh, yeah.
Slices of
pizza. Pretzel necklace? What?
Yeah, well, when you're out there drinking, you want, you just can't keep pounding beer without having a little something to eat. But two, the pretzels cleanse the palate.
Yeah.
So you can taste the next beer and not worry about the last one you had before you try this next one, right?
Yeah, that's in theory anyway. The connoisseurs.
Right.
That want to cleanse the palate.
Wow. Yeah,
but what it really is you want something to munch on between beers, and so you got it hanging around your neck, right?
<That's>
Never
great.
Far away.
And it's always a big fashion show.
Oh, yeah.
Our county treasurer, Pete McGregor.
Yeah.
He was there in a full disco outfit.
Oh, really?
Because it was his birthday, too.
Oh, okay.
And so all of a sudden, Petey came up behind me, and he's like, I bet you don't know who I am. I'm like, Petey, I'd recognize you anywhere.
Right, yeah.
But he had the wig and the big, like, foil jumpsuit.
Oh, yep. My goodness.
Platform shoes, the whole deal.
Oh, the whole deal.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good stuff. But, so, Chaz, we're wrapping up this last segment. We haven't talked a bit about grilling yet, but I've been on this carnivore diet. We went on vacation, and like everybody else, if you're fortunate, I drank too much, I ate too much, I came back 10 pounds heavier, and my wife's like, well, we're going to lose some weight, we're going to go on this carnivore diet. Damn if it hasn't worked. I've lost like 14 pounds in about 20 days here. You don't eat a lot, but you eat a lot of protein, dairy, eggs, and fatty meats. Well, that's right up a griller's alley. I've been
What I'm doing wrong? I'm eating lean meats.
Yeah, right. No, I've been eating ribeyes at least a couple a week, and man, there's nothing wrong with that. But I will tell you that, you know, my tech, it has that glass on there. It was like 5 below, and I lit that thing up, and I heard that glass go, and she popped.
Oh.
So that's a couple $100 I got to spend to get a new one of those, but. At the end of the day, I think I just turned it up high, and it was so stinking cold that the immediate heat that hit that thing just popped it. And so it's my own damn fault. But
should have warmed it up.
Warmed it up a little bit, yeah, rather than turn it on high because that flame comes up. But I've been loving the grilling the last 2 weeks. It still works, but you know whatever. It's just a part.
Oh, I was doing venison kebabs the other night.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a little bit of a respite to the cold.
Right.
So I could get out there on the deck and get to the big Weber, and I put on a half dozen kebabs with just some venison, some onions, some mushrooms.
Mm.
Oh, it turned out really good.
Yeah. Yep. That is good.
I just did a little marinade that I learned in Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
When I was ice fishing.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There's flavors from all around the world, and they're all good. If you like them, right? I mean, and so why not? If you've got a cool one, you go with it. But, you know, so, hey, thanks for, I know you're not 100% above the weather. Thanks for coming in and sitting in for Barbecue Bob. That was a great show. I really enjoy when we get a chance to talk to these entrepreneurs that are making beer, and they're still doing it. Everybody thought it was a fad 10, 15 years ago, and these are guys that got legitimate businesses and that are really adding to the fabric of our communities.
And you're going to have to take Lisa to Lake Ann now.
No, I know. And I'm going to call Matt because he's got local knowledge of places, and I just need a 3-night stay in the middle of August in northern Michigan. You can't be wrong with that. So you've been listening to the Grilling Guys. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill or smoker, create some grill envy in your neighborhood, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.